Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips.
Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his lonesome
life's the Sandman.
Over, Sandman.
Good morning. I am David Hollander, your host, and I will be your drill sergeant this entire month as we roll out our New Year resolution boot camp.
Hoo-ah!
It's so great to be with you this morning. We got an incredible Niners team to be excited about. First place, isn't that great? And we have an amazing show for you today. For those of you just joining me for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week. And I actually happen to have my own Sandman coffee. I'm being videoed this morning, so here you go. Get some chaga mushroom. Anyway, we are financial advisors, tax planners. Now, we are living in such an exciting time right now. We have an election coming up. It's all starting today, in fact. Everybody's out on the trail throwing all sorts of mud at each other. It'll be exciting to see what the Supreme Court does. But anyway, definitely some things to be talking about. And so this morning, if you made any sort of New Year's resolution whatsoever, maybe it was to save more money, maybe it was to retire early, or maybe it was just to get fit. Whatever it happens to be, today we're going to help you with the financial piece as we talk about the things that you need to know as you get ready to retire or you're even starting to save for retirement. What are some of the basics? This is basic training today. What are some basics that you need to know to follow? And even for those of you who are successful at this and think you've done a pretty good job, maybe you'll learn a thing or two as we decode and decipher what you need to be doing right now. So we will get started here in a second. Let's jump into the market segment, which we do every beginning of the show where we cover the market and let you know what's coming. So let's get started. So 2023 is over and it was a pretty good year, but the stock market's winning streak after nine straight weeks. Think about that. Nine straight weeks of the S&P 500 finally took a breather, and we had some pullback last week. The Dow was off 0.6% for the week, S&P off 1.5%, NASDAQ down 3.2%, MSCI International off 1.5%. 10-year Treasury up a little bit, 0.2%. That was due to the Fed and the job market data we just saw, so closed at 404 on Friday. Oil holding in there at $73.91 a barrel. And the just bond index off 1.1%. So people are asking what happened. Why did the market take off the other way this past week instead of continuing to go up? Well, really what happened is if you think about it, we had a pretty good year for 23. The Dow was up year to date was up 16.2%. Think about this. In the fourth quarter, the Dow went up 13.1% in one quarter, most of that in November. The S&P 500 was up 11.7% in the fourth quarter, finished the year up 26.3%. NASDAQ finished the year up 44.7%. That's massive. And they saw a 13.8% gain just in the fourth quarter. Russell Small Cap, here's the reason why I talk about diversification, having balanced portfolio, staying on top of it. This is all the things that we do here. Russell Small Cap Index, one quarter alone, up 14%. Their total return for the year was 16.9. So think about that. I mean, you could have been in that all year and you got it all at the very end. If you weren't in it, you didn't get it. So that's the kind of reason why you just can't try and time the market. It doesn't work. So what happened? Well, I call it window dressing. You may have heard this before. This is where portfolio managers rebalance and trade their positions to realize gains But they waited to do it. They waited to do it till this first week. And so that's what we saw, was a lot of that going on. And we saw indexes that are more defensive perform pretty well, of course, when markets get nervous. Money flows to those areas that are more conservative, like healthcare. We saw healthcare up 1.74%, while tech fell off, like I mentioned earlier, specifically 2.57%. One of the big reasons of that was Apple. Apple shares fell because Barclays said that the iPhone 15 wasn't doing so hot. And so they were worried about the future sales of that company and what it means to the price of the stock. And there you go. So as you think about 24, there's really two things you should focus on to see what's going to happen this year with the market. I got a question right before I walked in here. What do you think the market's going to do this year? Yeah, good question. Here you go. So I think the Fed, their interest rate decision ultimately and how they do it, and of course the data of the economy, those are going to be the two things that are going to affect the market performance this year. Let's start with the jobs market because we had that on Friday. So the Goldilocks outcome continues, and the market wants to see where economic growth continues, that the job market's strong enough to support the economy to continue to grow and people to keep spending money, corporations to make some money, inflation to be moderating. That's all what the Fed wants to see happen. And so when you talk about the two forces of the Fed and the economy, those are the areas that we're going to need to be looking at. And so they're usually in tension with each other, because remember, as you raise rates, that usually brings down inflation. And that's exactly what happened in the 70s and 80s. And then they got it wrong. And then we had rampant inflation, as you remember, with gas prices and interest rates and mortgage and all that in the 80s, because they got it wrong. So right now, the Fed is trying to thread the needle to make sure that they bring both of those down in a respective way. So I think the latter will come from some softness in the economy. And so as rates stay higher for longer, that's going to ease consumer spending, which we're starting to see right now. And the path of household consumption will rest on the labor market. And so as we see wages start to level out, as we see employment numbers start to come down, then that's going to cause people to spend less money, which should bring the economy down. Despite last month's increase in hiring, I think the labor market's going to bend. I don't think it's going to break as we continue to move through this, as a slowdown in the pace of job gain, modest rise in unemployment happens. And I think this is corroborated when I look out there by the additional employment data we saw last week about job openings. Those are shrinking. And overall, I'm also seeing wages level out. So those are two areas that over the last couple of years have shown that inflation is coming under control. I expect that to continue, but I don't think we're going into hibernation. And that would be a full-on, full-blown recession. So I just don't see it coming right now, and I think that's good for the market overall. So when you look at the minutes from the Fed Reserve last week, they put those out there. This is from their meeting they had last week, and they said that they are ready to raise rates again if inflation comes back. And why is that? Well, because Powell he's a student of the 70s and 80s. He doesn't want to relive that again. He doesn't want to repeat showing he got it wrong or they got it wrong. So they said it right there in the notes. They acknowledge that further hikes could be required if inflation were to make a surprise turn higher, end quote. So I think the two primary elements to what the Fed's up to right now and what the market's going to do go hand in hand. And when I look at what markets have done in the past, give you some data here. If you consider the rate cuts of the past, June 90, 6 months prior to that cut, markets were up 3.1%. June 95, 95 and 98, a little skewed if you were investing like I was back then. You remember those were good times. June 95, 19.8% up. June 98, 17.7% up. In this history I looked at, there's only one down, December of 2000. Of course, that was we all know 2000, 2008, down 8.7%. But June 07 up 7 and June 19 up 18.5. So overall, 6 months prior to the actual rate cut, markets did pretty well. So will that continue? Well, it really just depends. We'll see. The second element of the rate cut is where I think the consensus overall has just gotten too optimistic. So don't expect when the market realizes that maybe they got it wrong, some volatility. And so what do you do when there's volatility? Well, you take action. If you're rebalancing your portfolio right now, that's perhaps where you get into it. I had a question this past week. Well, is that should I do all that now at one time? Well, no, I don't believe in that. I believe you have to dollar cost average in the markets. I think that if you're a longer term investor, you know, you got to be in it. Look at the example I just gave of the small caps. If you missed that last quarter, you missed basically most of that return. So if you weren't in it, you missed it. What are the resistance levels on the S&P 500? These are what you need to write down. So on the upside, we need to go through 4783 to get to the next level of 4818. Right now, we're at 4697. So we still got a bit ways to go up to get through that. I don't see that happen in near term. What's the support on the downside? 4555. And then the next one's 4496. So those are two pretty strong support levels. And again, not a lot of significant volatility there. If you're thinking about retiring, or if your goal for the new year was to get into financial shape, today we are doing our boot camp, and we will be doing some basic training when we come back. Keep it right here. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, The Sandman.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets show. Was one of your New Year's resolutions to make some big changes to your financial life in a positive way in 2024? Well, if the answer is yes, then you're going to want to listen to the entire show today, as I've pulled together some great ideas for 2024 to help you. But first, have a question. Sally from Mill Valley, she owns a condo in Corte Madera. Her son Stanley lives there rent-free. She applied for SSI for him, and she is known as the representative payee, which means that she gets the checks that he's entitled to as a beneficiary of SSI. Now, the award was approved, but there's something called an ISM deduction. And so her question was, can she charge Stanley rent to avoid that ISM deduction? Well, Sally, the answer is yes, you can, but the Corte Madera fair income level for Marin County might offset that. So find out what that is and decide what you want to do there. And you asked me a question about, is that going to be a problem given that you're the representative payee? And the answer is no. Rent is a valid deduction. You just want to make sure it makes sense, okay? All right. Let's get back to it. We call this our retirement boot camp series.
Hoo-ah!
And it's designed to help you get through basic training as you try to build your financial well-being this year. So I know it's Saturday. You probably had a fun-filled week. I know we had Monday off, and I hope you had a great new year, by the way. 2023 is behind us. Are you ready? All right, let's go. So the first thing I want you to think about is this. You may want to write this down, because I find that writing things down somewhere that I see every day helps me remember it. I have a whiteboard on the way to my bathroom that I just write stuff on and look at it, update it. So write this down. Give every dollar a job. Think about that. Every dollar you earn, give it a job. What do I mean by that? Well, of course you have expenses. We all do. But one of those first things you should do is pay yourself. So take advantage of the 401k. If you have a 401k, or some people I meet don't have a 401k, you could do a Roth contribution. May not be deductible, but still, Roths are great. So do that first. Try contributing 5% of your gross pay, and I recommend trying to work up to 10% if you can do it. So do that first, all right? Next, what would come next? Well, taxes, of course. You got to pay taxes. And I know California, probably just heard, raised it up to 14.4%. So I've been saying this for a long time. Taxes are going up and living in California is getting worse. So the reality is you're going to pay a lot of taxes for a long time. So you got to pay those. Next, if you got a mortgage, of course, you want to pay that. You don't want to lose your house. Food, utilities, car payment. All those things should be on that list. So with rule number one, pay yourself first. You see $5,000 in your account and you get the false idea that you're rich. So you go out for sushi with your friend at the finest restaurant in town, spend $125. A few days later, some bills come in like tax payments, estimates. And then you thought, oh no, I'm in trouble now. So you sell off some of those investments you just made. Borrow against the equity line on your house. With my rule number one, you have $5,000 in your checking account because it just hit from your bank, from your paycheck. You give it a job by dividing them into categories. $500, say, into my 401k. $1,000 to pay taxes. $2,000 mortgage. $800 food bill. $550 car payment and insurance. You get the idea. Your buddy calls you and says, hey, let's go get some sushi. You say, I don't have so much money. How about we go get some pizza? A few days later, those bills come in and you pay them with ease. I know this may not sound like you, but the idea is sound. And so build a budget and stick with it. And it's a lot easier than you think. So just do it. Put pen to paper. That helps. Most importantly, in this example, you have started to put money away and anything you do now will pay dividends in the future, especially if you start early. And don't forget to ask your employer if there's any sort of match potential when you start or increase your contributions as you get that free money. So that's good. If you can go ahead and do all that, I'll say, well done, Private. Give yourself a pat on the back. Next, rule number two, make your big ticket items more manageable. How? Well, you got to plan ahead. Say your home and your car insurance premiums, they're due every 6 months. That's $1,600. If you don't follow rule number two, we all know what happens. That bill comes in the mail or now it gets emailed to you and maybe gets lost in spam or something. And there's some penalty. You have $1,000 in your checking account and you do some quick, almost always faulty math in your head. And remember, your cable bill's due in 2 days. That's $100. The refrigerator's empty, $150. The car payment's due next week, $400. Gas bill needs to be paid by Friday, $120. You total those bills in your head, $770. You think you're flush because you have $1,000 in the bank. $230 for impulse shopping, right? A week later, with $100 in your checking account, you impulsed $130. Amazon, thank you. Insurance bill comes in. You owe $1,600. You stress out. You put it on the credit card or, again, the equity line or sell some things. You get into a deeper hole. I hope the coffee's kicked in by now because now you see the problem, don't you? Yet you make so much money, you're good, right? No, you're not. I see this happen so many times. Doesn't matter how much you have. I see this happen with people, believe it or not, with millions and millions of dollars, literally. So pay attention. If you follow this rule number two, you look ahead 6 months. You knew the insurance premium was coming. And you knew how much it would be. So you budget $150 per month and you put that into your insurance bucket or account. Have a separate account for those things that are bigger ticket items, like vacation. Every month, just stick a little money away. Because when that bill does come due, guess what? You pay it with ease. No problem whatsoever. You're in good shape now because you did your job. I know, taking action, particularly at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday of the year, is tough. But think about it. It's a brand new year, and you can make some big changes to your life by just taking a few simple steps right now. So call me right now, and I will give you my boot camp survival kit absolutely free. It's complimentary just because you showed up today. Nice job. Over the last 30 years, we've worked with thousands of families. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Get your own boot camp survival kit, 866-PROTECT. Lucas is sitting back there ready to talk to you. Give him a call. He's sitting there. Give him something to do. 866-PROTECT. When we come back, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you need a certain number to retire. Is that really true? Find out. There's so much more to come. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander, the Sandman. That's me. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. Are you ready to make some big financial changes to your life in 2024? Well, maybe just some little ones. I don't know. If you're willing to do anything, that's good. Just having the right attitude makes such a big difference on your financial life. Believe it or not, I've seen this happen so many times, particularly in the month of January. It's typically the time people make and try to keep their New Year's resolutions. So if you made a financial commitment to yourself, and you want to get your act in shape, whether it's buying another home or a first home or saving for retirement or retiring this year, well, today's show is just for you because we are going over some basics in our basic training. And this entire month, each Saturday, we're going to be covering topics, which I call the Financial Bootcamp Series. All right, so now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show. This is called our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All right, so here's one they say. They say that you need a certain number in your 401k to retire. Is that true? Actually, no, it's not. Probably not. The truth is, no matter how much you have, and I can say this, I've seen some people with quite a bit of money, you're most likely going to find a way to spend it. So that thought process doesn't really work unless you've really figured it out. Now, let me give you an example. So John and Nancy, they wanted to retire in 2024. House was paid off. Two kids, college done, paid for, out working on their own. $4 million in a 401k. Now, Nancy wants to retire at the end of this year. John's already retired, but Nancy wants to retire. And they don't know if she can retire because she's 63. Medicare is not in place yet. They like their health care benefits. And they don't know how much they can afford to spend every month because they've been getting this paycheck every couple weeks with his Social Security and pension. They're doing just fine. But when those paychecks stop, they don't know how much they can spend. Now, they went to another financial planning firm who used some software to show them that they won't outlive their money. But it also shows that if they keep going the direction they've been going all these years, that when they die, and they said they want to die at 95, kids are going to get $12 million. And Nancy looked at John and said, no, that's too much money. We're not doing that. And then I said, okay, Nancy, what do you want to do? I want to know how much I can spend every month. Can you figure that out? And I said, yes, we can, because we can. So we used our software, which is called eMoney. If you look at financial planning out there, there's a couple softwares that I recommend. So we came up with a number that she can spend. And guess what? She's going to walk away here in a couple months after she gets paid her bonus, which she deserves. And they're already planning their trip to Argentina. She's been wanting to go to Buenos Aires for a while. Now that the political situation's died down there and the peso's getting stronger, she's looking forward to getting some chimichurri. That's right. All right. Well, that's how that works. So it's important to get a plan. And so my rule number three is you got to stay positive. You got to look at how do you develop a plan that considers all of your income sources. What do I mean by that? Well, you're going to have Social Security. And if you're a married couple, there are literally 1,700 different ways to do it. So what's the best way to do it? Because it's going to be taxable most likely in California, particularly if you have the kind of income you do from, say, rental properties, pensions, 401k distributions, IRAs. All that has to be figured out. So if you have a plan, a written plan that actually takes all those numbers in consideration, now you can start to look at ways where you could start to pull income from different buckets and control how much in tax you pay on that money that's coming into you. And if you do it right, you should have more because now you're controlling the amount of tax you spend. I see this all the time. Most people, they do it the other way around. They just figure out where all the money's going to come from. They think it's enough, and it usually is, but then they get the tax bill, particularly that first year in retirement, and they get blown away. They say, whoa, what happened? You know, I thought I had all this money, and now I owe all this tax. Taxes are brutal, and they're only getting worse. And so you've got to figure out how to create more tax-efficient, I'll call it, income. Tax-efficient income. Doesn't necessarily mean tax-free. Just means tax-efficient, okay? So with that rule number three, as long as you've built a plan and you know what's going on, your budget should work, your tax payments that you're going to be paying should be within range of what you thought they would be, and you should have an extra amount of money to live on to do all those things you've always wanted to do. You can literally lay all that out and actually do it. And you feel good about it. And that's really the difference, right? Being confident and feeling like you know what you're doing and that you can do it whenever you want to do it because you've worked so hard to get there. You just need somebody to help you figure out when you go from your working and accumulation years to the distribution years. It's a totally different sort of completely contrary to everything you've done all these years because that paycheck stops. It's really that simple. So now you got to create your own paycheck. And so if you're wondering if you could retire this year, if you're feeling like John and Nancy, then here's what you can do. You can pick up the phone right now and you can give us a call because if Nancy had not made that call last year, guess what? She'd probably still be working this full year and not know that she'd be able to go to Argentina. And right now she's looking forward to that. So if you're serious, I mean, this was one of your goals, like, you know, hey, December 31st was just a week and a half ago. You're sitting there going, hey, I'm ready to retire right now. I've had enough. I don't want to go back to work. Well, why are you waiting another second? Come to my office right now. We are local. You can sit down. You can talk about what the next 30 years of your life could look like. Think about that. If you don't know how much you can spend, I mean really spend, and not run out of money before you die, for potentially the next 30 years? Do you think spending an hour is worth 30 years of fun? Come on. Stop thinking about it. We can meet virtually. We do Zoom meetings. That's easy. Whatever you like to do, just give us a call. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Protect your retirement, protect your life, protect the money you give the government. 866-PROTECT to find out how you can get more out of what you're already doing. 866-PROTECT. Give us a call right now. Like I said, if the lines are busy or keep ringing, just call back. Now, your taxes just went up. So when I come back, I'm going to talk to you about how to make them much lower. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets show on the Protect Your Assets radio network. We will be right back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman around here. And you are listening to Protect Your Assets on this brand new New Year's show. Happy New Year, by the way. Hope you had a safe, happy, hopefully quiet New Year. And want to welcome all the new listeners out there in the Palm Desert area. We are now in the Coachella Valley, getting back to the roots where my grandmother used to live. So welcome. January is typically the time people make and try to keep their New Year's resolutions. So if you made a financial New Year's resolution to get your financial act in shape, whether it's buying a second home, saving more for retirement, or retiring this year, well, then today's show is just for you because we've been going over the basics of what you need to do to pay less taxes, to save more, and to get ready to retire this entire morning. And for the month of January, each Saturday, we do a financial boot camp to help you learn about things like taxes and passing more money on to your family. So a couple tax updates, and this is where you can hopefully save some more money, quite a bit of money. In fact, you probably heard that California, effective January 1st, can now tax the top earners up to 14.4%. Now, you may wonder, well, what's a top earner? I got bad news for you. Most of the folks around here in the Bay Area, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of folks in the Bay Area are considered top earners. Go look at the numbers. And what it means is you're going to probably be spending close to 45% in combined taxes when you make the kind of income that you make. And the mortgage deduction only goes so far. What else could you do? Well, you got to start looking at tax-free income in retirement because let's face it, in probably a year from now when you retire or 5 years or 10 years, whatever your trajectory is, and that income starts coming into your account, if it's taxable and you're spending 45% combined tax rate on that, well, you just essentially lost half your income. So now is the time, if you're serious about creating more income in retirement, to look at the four ways, depending on what you can do. There's four ways to do it. I know three and four sometimes works for some people. But there are different ways to create tax-free income, and you really need to talk about that. And so we've developed a boot camp survival kit I'm giving away this morning. You just have to give us a call and we'll walk you through ways to create that tax-free income that could make a lot of sense for you 3, 4, 5 years from now when rates are going to be that much higher. Okay, so that's the first thing you need to do. Now, second, if you're thinking about passing assets on to your family, like real estate, if you haven't been to this website yet, I want you to go there, www.boe.ca.gov/PROP19, California Board of Equalization, look up Prop 19. There's a fact there, frequently asked question tab. You can click on it. Please read about it. Here's how it works. Let's say you bought a property in San Anselmo back in 1986. You paid $210,000 for it. Your county taxes each year are about $5,000. The home's worth $3.2 million, even in this market. And your trust says your kids get the house when you and your wife leave the fine city of San Anselmo permanently. What will be the new county tax rate when your kids inherit that property? Well, approximately $30,000 will no longer be the $5,000 that you've enjoyed all these years. Will your trust that you did all those years ago protect the children from this new tax? No. Go read that website. Prop 19 limits the transfer and makes your kids pay more. It sounds unfair, maybe even alien. Maybe you didn't even know that this existed. But the bottom line is the counties in California need money. And so they're coming after your most valuable asset. So if you own real estate, I encourage you to do what Ron did recently. He contacted us. He came into our office in Larkspur with his kids. And we all sat around the table and we looked at his real estate. And we determined it was best to develop a spreadsheet, put all the expenses, the income out on that spreadsheet, then put that into our financial planning tool. And then we're going to sit down and look at each property, figure out the ROI, the return on the investment of each property, figure out whether it makes sense to keep it in their family after taxes or to sell it and invest it. Because at the end of the day, it is numbers, right? It's about numbers. Numbers don't lie. So look at the numbers. Don't be afraid. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, pick up the phone. Get informed. Get more information. 866-PROTECT. As you know, we are attorneys. We are tax CPAs. We are financial advisors, all under one roof. Find out what's possible. 866-PROTECT. Pick up the phone right now. Get our free boot camp series. 866-PROTECT. Next week, we'll be talking about some more great ideas on this new year and what you can do to save more when it comes to your retirement. Want to give a big thanks to Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. Got Raf back in the studio, Lucas, Phil, Kevin Renfer, Eli. Thank you guys for helping me out this morning. Without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.